Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Opinion Line, Cork's 96 FM.
Minister, good morning to you.
Hi, PJ. Good morning to you.
And thank you for taking our call. Just to go through the things that people picked up on yesterday. Obviously, the business supports huge amount of money. The rebate, which I think a lot of people were saying, yeah, that's a good thing. The cut in VAT, the scrapping commercial rates and all of that. You had the spending on health, $2 billion on COVID-related stuff. Then you had acute beds, community beds. I'll go through it all piece by piece, starting with the business and the support of the live music and events industry and the changes in the PUP payment for self-employed people. There isn't really much point in going out to earn that little small amount of money.
Well, good morning, PJ, and thanks for having me on. And for a lot of people who are self-employed and whose business is gone or who are out of work, the ability to earn something and still keep the PUP could be of real value. And it is an issue that has been raised with us quite a lot over recent months. If you think of, you know, people in the events industry, performers, artists, other self-employed people who might have had, you know, a day's work here or 2 days work there, and the social welfare system isn't always flexible enough to accommodate that. And people were understandably concerned that if they had to sign off the PUP to do a little bit of work, could they have difficulty getting back on, and all of the administrative issues around that and so on. So what Minister Heather Humphreys and I are now proposing is that immediately people would be able to earn, people who are self-employed and on the PUP would be able to earn 120 a week or 480 a month without it impacting on their PUP payment. So that could be a real value if people, you know, have the opportunity to earn that. And I'm not saying, of course, that everybody does.
Not everybody does, but as well as that, for some sectors, like that's, you, by the time they're finished with tax and VAT and all that, that it really isn't worth their while, is what they're saying.
Oh, well, look, I think it is of value to them. I mean, if you are a performer and if you can get a gig, an online gig or whatever, and there's some payment for it, that would have created potential problems with your PUP payment. But now it is going to be allowed. And as you referred to earlier, there is a €50 million allocation now being given to Minister Martin, Catherine Martin's department, to roll out a live performance scheme. She had started it on a pilot basis. We had given €5 million earlier in the summer, and it was massively oversubscribed. And so we think that, you know, it is a good way to give people in the entertainment and performance sector an opportunity to do some work. So she'll be setting out the full details of that shortly.
Okay. In fairness, Michael, a huge spend, an absolutely enormous spend, and no doubt we've borrowed to do it, which, and the rates are favourable and all of that at the moment. But do you know, when you borrow money from the man will eventually want it back. And what's in people's minds this morning is, as they read of the money being spent on business, on housing, on health and all of that, education, someone's going to want it back someday. So is this just the precursor now to get us out of the pandemic and then into years of austerity?
No, I don't believe so. I mean, first of all, I think that this is the right response. And, you know, even bodies like the Fiscal Advisory Council, you know, they'd be the watchdog over the government in relation to budget issues. Even they have recommended that the right approach now is to support the economy and spend a lot of money to help protect jobs and give businesses the best chance to survive. So, I mean, broadly speaking, the majority of economists and independent analysts, you know, would recommend that kind of approach, that when the economy is weak, the government should step in and spend more money to support it. But you are right, of course, in saying that this is borrowed money. And thankfully, we are in a position to borrow now at essentially close to zero. And what that means is if we borrow money over, let's say, a 10-year period, if we issue a 10-year bond, there is essentially no servicing cost or very low servicing cost on that for 10 years. And then the issue is, and it's probably your next question, what happens in 10 years' time when that bond expires? And governments generally don't pay down debt, they roll it over. And so you have to borrow again then to pay back the original bond. And that could be at a higher interest rate than the new one. And that is the risk.
Our national debt is already colossal, and we've added an awful amount to it. And someday, the bank will come looking for its money.
So our national debt is high. Going into COVID-19, it was around €200 billion. By the end of next year, it will be around €240 billion. But we believe it is affordable. We do believe it is the right thing to do to borrow at this time to invest in capital infrastructure, for example. We will be spending over €10 billion next year. We saw the Dunkettle project finally approved by government yesterday. And, you know, we think that we're striking the right balance here. But if we were to start withdrawing supports and, you know, allowing vulnerable businesses to close for good, then our problem would get much worse. This is, I think, a good balance. But you're right in saying that we can't be adding €20 billion every year to the national debt. I mean, that goes without saying. We will have to get to a point where we are reducing the deficit. But if you can get the economy growing, then that's the best way to build your tax revenues. And much of the expenditure that we have by way of income supports and social welfare won't then be required.
Is there any prospect, Minister, and you're an accountant by profession yourself, so you'll know the kind of question I'm about to ask, that, like, is there any prospect at all that somewhere down the road the European Union, when we're out of the back of this, the central bank or someone will say, listen, let's do kind of what we did after World War II with the Marshall money, and, you know, just pay it back kind of over the next 50, 60, 70, just give it to us when you have it?
Well, there's no sense of that at the moment, but having said that, the European Central Bank has been very supportive in the markets, and they are buying a lot of government bonds across the Eurozone, and that is helping to keep the cost of borrowing down. But they've only committed to continuing with that policy up to June of 2021, though most experts believe that they will have to extend it well beyond that. So that is what allows us to borrow at very low interest rates. We are looking always at how do we compare with other European countries, and we're in a reasonably good position relative to most others. Our deficit is high in cash terms, but as a percentage of the economy, it is, you know, probably around the middle of the pack. There are many countries worse off. So at some point when the ECB starts to pull away from that exceptional support, you are then at the mercy of the markets, and they will dictate the price that they will lend to you at. And if you can't show to them that you have a handle on your finances and that they are sustainable, then they'll charge an awful lot more money to lend to you. That's the bit that scares people
looking down the road, because we all remember 2008 and all that. Let's go to one of the sectors. And there are people who are happy, and there are business people happy and relieved rather than happy, I think. But one sector that's not particularly happy is carers. Let's have a listen to Brenda, who I spoke to earlier on this morning on the Opinion Line.
There's over 355,000 carers in Ireland, and we save €10 billion a year for the government. And they've given us €150 in our carer support grant, and we won't get that until June 21. You know, we never really use it for respite because we have so many bills and so many outgoings. Us as a family anyway, we put it straight back into Fiona. And I would say that most carers have so many bills and so many expenditures that, you know, we're counting the days until that grant comes.
Like when she sees businesses being helped out with lots of money, like $5,000 a week for a business has to close down due to restrictions, which, by the way, is a fabulous thing. She feels a bit left out.
Yeah, and look, I mean, carers are heroes in what they do, and they are saving the state a huge amount of money, but more importantly, they're providing a service that is absolutely invaluable. She has referred there to the increase in the carer support grant of €150. We will be paying the Christmas bonus. For half of the last decade that wasn't paid, it is going to be paid at the full rate in the first week of December. And more importantly, I think, than all of that, we have provided a lot of money for disability services, an extra €100 million for new measures, which is about improving respite care, about ensuring that day services resume fully. And then we have, separate to all of that, we're increasing the number of home support hours by 5 million hours. And that's on top of about 20 in normal times. We're increasing that by a quarter. So that should help people in maybe a non-financial way to improve the services. And so I think when you take all of that, we've done our best on it. But we have in this budget gone with a targeted social welfare package that is really about tackling poverty. That's why some of it is focused on the child.
But no change in main rates, main rates of benefit, Minister, means that those people are on a fixed income. When there's less money about, and they're going to struggle, particularly with carbon taxes and things like that.
Yeah, well, we have increased the fuel allowance as an offset to the carbon tax. But you're right, we haven't gone...
That won't put petrol in the car.
We haven't gone with rate increases across the board. I mean, we did have to make choices. We are in extraordinary circumstances. You started talking about the level of the deficit. The deficit next year is going to be almost as high as the deficit in 2020. So we do need to keep an eye on that. And I think what we've done in a targeted way to support carers and others on social welfare will be of help to some who really need it, including children, families with children, by increasing that, improvements in the ability of one-parent families to earn money at work while keeping their payment, for example, and the living alone allowance. About a third of pensioners do live alone, and they are getting a €5 increase because their costs are fixed. Yeah. Whether there's one or two people in the house. So we've just tried to adopt a targeted approach. Yeah. I mean, if we were to go with a fiver a week across the board, it would be at least another €400 million. So we did have to make choices.
Okay. The single income family, €40,000, three school children, nothing in it for us, in fact, says this caller to the show, nothing in it for us. In fact, the carbon tax on fuel...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Will be a bit of a hit.
Yeah, it will. It will for people who... have to drive a petrol or a diesel car, undoubtedly. What we've done with the proceeds from that is we have put it back into areas that we think will make a difference. Some of it into social welfare in providing supports, some of it into retrofitting of homes, including social housing. There's over €60 million provided for retrofitting council housing. So I think that's important as well. But look, it wasn't really the kind of budget that was about putting a lot of money in people's pockets. I mean, I would acknowledge that, DJ. Because of what
you tried to avoid taking it out of their pockets as well.
Well, insofar as you can, but we're dealing with a massive threat to our health in terms of COVID and our economy, and trying to support the economy and help people to stay at work who are fortunate to have a job, and then investing huge money in reskilling, retraining, education opportunities for people who, you know, sadly have lost their job and want to find their way back. But like, our first priority is to keep people safe, and that's why we are not just providing the money to help to deal with COVID, but we're giving them money to increase our permanent capacity by increasing the number of beds. And also on the housing side, like, we are really ramping up the direct building of social houses by the state. In 2019, we built 6,000 as a country. It's going to be 9,500 next year. So,
More money going to private landlords, though, than into new houses.
Well, we've shifted from rental support to direct bills. That's where we want the policy to go. And this is a new government. And so we're going from, 6,000 bills to 9,500. But you can't stop the HAP supports, the housing assistance payment supports, overnight unless you have an alternative to offer to people. Mm. So we're trying, I think there's much better value long term for the state in helping people to have their own home rather than paying rental supports, because we are, if you take all of the various schemes, probably paying in the region of €800 to €900 million a year now in rent support.
Okay.
I think it would be much better to build the houses that people need. When we were a much poorer country, as I said yesterday, we managed to do that, and we should be doing it now.
In the context of where we are with health and the pandemic and all that, we're being listened to, Minister, you and I, by Dr. Niall Conroy in Queensland, Australia. And we had Dr. Conroy on the Opinion Line a week or so ago. He's one of the leading public health doctors in Queensland, where they are practically COVID-free now and getting on with their lives. He has a specific question for you. What will the regional public health units get in terms of increased staffing as we try to deal with this pandemic? We hear about testing and tracing, he says, but they're labs and contact tracing centres. What about regional public health units where the staff are practically ready to throw in the towel, they're worked off their feet, there's not enough of them, they've no resources? What's being done for the specific public health departments?
So at that level of detail, PJ, would really be for the Department of Health and the HSE to allocate the funding. So my job in the last number of weeks was to negotiate with Stephen Donnelly and his officials as to what money they actually need to deal with COVID. And they will then allocate that to the acute hospital system by way of extra beds, extra critical care beds, to community and primary care as well, to the various testing facilities that are there, including in Cork and in CUH, where a huge amount of volume of tests is being done. So I don't have, that level of detail as to how many extra staff it will mean at each particular centre. But we've provided the funding that they need, and I think that's the priority for me as Minister for Public Expenditure. We have not held back. We've given them what they say they need, and they will allocate it then, based on clinical advice and based
probably
on
probably a question then more better suited for Stephen Donnelly, who I hope I'll get to have some questions with him someday. Just back to fuel, Sabrina has a cold fire, and she says this will make heating my home unaffordable, and I've no alternatives.
Yeah, well, I don't know whether Sabrina qualifies for the fuel allowance or not. PJ, I don't know all of her circumstances, but that is going up to €28 per week. It is a means-tested payment, so not everybody gets it, but many people on social welfare do qualify for the fuel allowance. So that is our attempt to directly compensate people for the increase in the carbon tax, and also just to say that the carbon tax increase on solid fuel does not kick in until next May. It went up immediately, for for the petrol pump and diesel pumps, but not for solid fuel. That is well into next year.
An infrastructure question from Aidan on our Facebook page. Is the Cork to Ringaskiddy, the new road, the new motorway, is that included in capital projects?
So that is provided for in the current National Development Plan. That particular project is the subject of a legal challenge, and that is still walking its way through the court system. And so it's a judicial review hearing has been brought in relation to that case, that particular project. But the funding for that project is in place. There will be a new national development plan. I'll be very much involved in the preparation of that in the next number of months. That will be a new 10-year plan, and that project, you know, subject to the court challenge. And, you know, residents have a right to have their grievances aired and dealt with. And that project is in the national development plan, but it is currently in the legal system.
On the children, we're coming towards the end now, Minister. Trina's on WhatsApp. She said, how can they say they're supporting children when in the North Lee area alone, 400 children are waiting for an autism assessment?
Yeah, I'm well aware of that issue, PJ, and I was determined in the first budget that I'm, you know, directly involved in writing that we would make a serious move to deal with that issue. It's not acceptable to me or to the government that people are waiting that length of time. I'm in Southleigh, I represent Southleigh, and the problem is equally bad there. We are determined to deal with it, and Minister Anne Rabbitt is in charge of disability services, and I made sure that her priorities, which include more assessments and earlier assessments...
Have you given her the money to do it, I guess?
Yes, and now it's about delivery. But I can just say that this is going to be an area that I will be directly involved in to make sure that this is delivered. Okay. I have an interest in the areas in OPJ, and it's not good enough that children are waiting 2-3 years to be assessed. It's just not good enough. That will be dealt with.
On the fuel allowance increase and the living alone allowance increase, when does that kick in?
So the fuel allowance increase kicks in January, and so does the living alone increase. So the 1st of January, they will need to be legislated for in the social welfare bill. So Minister Heather Humphreys will bring that bill into the Dáil and Shannon shortly. So the 1st of January, that is the commencement date for the vast majority of the provisions in the social welfare budget.
Lastly, shared ownership for first-time buyers. Anything on that?
So first of all, the Help to Buy scheme is being extended out to the end of next year. That is for people who are purchasing a new home, a new house being bought by first-time buyers, an increase up to €30,000, so 10% or €30,000, whichever is lower, will be provided under that scheme. Under the affordability package then, we have, including in Cork, some homes being developed by local authorities for affordable housing under the Service Sites Fund. Those are going to start coming on stream in 2021, next year. So we have provided €110 million under affordability generally. Dara O'Brien is introducing a new affordable purchase scheme. He's going to sign the regulations to bring that into effect shortly, and it will be based on the shared equity model. We're also funding the Land Development Agency. So the idea there is that they would build social, affordable and cost rental homes on public land throughout the country. So they're well funded as well.
Time frame on that?
Oh, that's underway. That they have started on a number of sites.
Okay.
They do need legislation. So that's coming before us, I would hope, in the next number of weeks. And once that's in place, they will then be able to access over €1 billion from a separate fund, which we haven't had to provide in the budget, from what's called the Strategic Investment Fund. They can make commercial investments on behalf of the state. So the Land Development Agency are in line to get €1.25 billion from them, and they're confident that they can deliver about 9,000 homes over the next number of years. That will be split between social, affordable and cost rental.
Finally, Michael McGrath, 100-something days after being put in cabinet for the very first time, you've just delivered your first budget. For in a year's time, what would you like this budget to have achieved?
I think stability is probably the priority, PJ, because we are in extraordinary circumstances, an unprecedented level of uncertainty that we are all having to deal with, the government, of course, but more importantly, the people in their day-to-day lives. It's hard to know what's around the corner. All we know is that change is certain, but we don't quite know the nature of that change. So we just want to help people to get through this period in the best way that we possibly can. We need to make sure that our health service is properly funded. We're going to try to step up in a really significant way house building, and then we are going to support the economy. Mm. Like, we have thrown the
kitchen. Are we insulated in this package against the worst case scenario with the second wave of the virus?
Yes, we are, because we have funding in reserve. We have a recovery fund that we will allocate over the course of the year. It's going to be 3.4 billion. And then on the COVID side, we have a contingency there of a further 2 billion euro plus, so that if, and we all hope it doesn't happen, but if we do have to move into different levels, that will have an impact in a whole range of areas. So we do have funding in reserve to address the issues that, you know, would inevitably arise if that comes to pass.
Okay, let's hope it's been prudent and that all the right boxes have been ticked. And thank you for taking our call today, Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Minister Michael McGrath.
Cork's 96 FM.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.